Israel apparently saw something in Syria that tripped a wire for them over the weekend. Here's Israel's ambassador to the U.S. outlining the red line for his country on our program last week.
We have, of course, great concerns about Syria, about chemical weapons transfer, that's our red line, to terrorist organizations, particularly to Hezbollah. And that's our red line. We stand by it very strongly. And should it be crossed, we will not remain passive. I will assure you that.
And they were not passive. Airstrikes against a missile facility and a reported research facility possibly involved in chemical weapons storage or production in Syria over the weekend. David Sanger, chief Washington correspondent for our partner, The New York Times, joins us. The Israeli airstrikes, I guess, given what the ambassador told us last week, were not a surprise. Your thoughts?
Well, they weren't a surprise in that Israel had done a very similar thing in January, although not as extensive, John, that they had managed to hit a convoy of missiles before they left a significant warehouse outside of Damascus. They went back to a very similar place, not quite the same place this time, as far as we can tell. But it looks like the strikes were much more extensive. And while it's a little bit difficult to tell because we don't have anyone on the ground in Damascus right now, it does appear as if they probably also hit some major research facilities, including some the U.S. has identified before as chem and bio research facilities.
The Israelis appeared to have made it look easy over the weekend, which then either accelerates or complicates the U.S. position on whether to intervene or not. True?
Well, it's true that it both accelerates it and it complicates it. President Obama has been extraordinarily reluctant to get involved in this war, and he was very reluctant even after the evidence showed up that sarin gas had been used, because the chain of custody of that evidence is fairly unclear. And it's not even clear who used it, whether it was government forces, whether it could be rebel forces, who knows. In any case, the bottom line is that the Israeli ability to go in and strike them apparently without entering Syrian airspace, it looks like these strikes were done largely from Lebanon and offshore, raises the debate in Washington about whether President Obama could do the same, hitting missile delivery systems, aircraft that could drop chemical weapons bombs, if either it was proven that Assad had used chemical weapons, or that it looked like he was preparing to use them. And that seems to be one of the leading options the Pentagon is trying to refine right now.
And it would suggest that based on the Israeli experience, the idea that an airstrike in Syria gets you involved in some morass is really not the case. And so it's harder for the administration to delay or hesitate intervening, right?
Well, it's not harder in that the president is quite concerned about acting until he's certain of the intelligence, and here the Iraq overhang is a heavy one. But on the other hand, it does show you that there is a light footprint way to do this, to use the White House phrase that was developed from the Libya attacks when there were no American casualties and just attacks of the air, from, of course, drone attacks, from cyber attacks on Iran. If this president reaches for military action, he's usually looking for a way to do it with little or no boots on the ground and from a standoff position where the chances of U.S. casualties are very low, and also in a situation where there would be no occupation, no repeat of what we saw in Iraq or in Afghanistan, where you know, send 100,000 or more troops in and sit there for 6 years trying to rewire the society and discover you can't.
Is the low footprint and need for some sort of cover possibly driving the secret talks that you've reported on with the U.S., Britain, and France that may be attempting to come up with some sort of order of battle here if airstrikes are to proceed?
Well, remember the Libya model here. That was French-led or French-started with Britain and the U.S. involved. They're the ones with the capability. In this case, I think the enthusiasm of the certainly on the part of the French is significantly more limited. However, I think if they saw chemical weapons being moved, they would be driven to act probably based on their own stated red lines here, and certainly by the president's. The president certainly doesn't want to go into this one alone.
Do your sources suggest that U.S. intelligence believes, for instance, that Syria is actually interested in sending its chemical weapons to Hezbollah in some way, that there's some sort of incentive? Are they trying to sell them? What's the issue here? Because the Israelis would obviously be watching this very closely.
Well, the Israelis are concerned about chemical weapons, but they're also just concerned about the use of the missiles, because certainly there have been cases, not terribly distant past, where there have been missile attacks on Israel without any kind of chemical warhead, just with a conventional warhead. And in the case of the missiles that were hit, while we still have a lot to learn about this, the early indications are that they may have been longer-range missiles that were sent from Iran and were just transiting through Syria. And if that's the case, the Israelis would want to hit them, even if there was no suggestion that there would be a chemical weapons use for them. But certainly, as you heard from Ambassador Oren, the chemical weapons add a complicating factor for them and a big fear factor. You know, chemical weapons are hard to deploy. If the wind's blowing the wrong way, they don't do what's intended, but they do create a lot of fear.
David Sanger, Chief Washington Correspondent for our partner, The New York Times. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
We've talked about the red lines for Israel in the unstable situation in Syria, but what about the red lines for the United States? On the line with us now is Barry Povel, Director of the Brent Scowcroft Center on International Security at the Atlantic Council. Barry, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
As we've just mentioned with David Sanger, there's a sense that the whole notion of U.S. intervention has been accelerated and possibly clarified by Israeli actions over the weekend. How on the hook do you think the Obama administration is here?
Well, I mean, it's a choice for them. They have a strategic choice, and I'm not as convinced that they are forced by Israeli actions. But what I do think is that Israeli actions certainly make clear the circumstances that would frame their choice of whether to intervene or not. And I think partly from Secretary Kerry's initiative, I think they're moving towards intervention rather than status quo.
But it would appear, and here's John McCain speaking on Fox News over the weekend, that the U.S. position is less clear than that of the Israelis. Listen.
The red line that the President of the United States written was apparently written in disappearing ink.
Is that a fair comment, Barry Povel?
Yes, and I was quoted in the New York Times this weekend sort of saying the same thing. I think it's very – when the President of the United States declares something in public regarding this question of the use of force, it's taken extremely seriously. It's parsed 18 different ways. And when that red line is crossed and you come back with what's perceived by many as a lawyerly response, it has a lot of impact on perceptions of friends, perceptions of foes, and others as well.
So who do you think is most able to act on this lawyerliness that you've described here? Is it the Syrians who can hold tight? Is it U.S. allies who will have less credibility or less sort of interest in working with the United States? So who acts on this lawyerly response?
I think it's everyone who's watching, and they watch U.S. actions and they watch U.S. inaction in various situations, and then they extrapolate to form their own interpretations of their own interactions with the United States. So I think countries like North Korea are watching, and Iran certainly. I think other countries like China and Russia are watching, and I think U.S. allies like South Korea and Turkey are watching as well. The time for the U.S. to be clearer about its own statements and its own actions is now.
Although David Sanger a moment ago suggested that caution may have something to do with what he called the Iraq overhang, in that we don't want to go in with a shock and awe situation in Syria and then be dealing with the consequences 8 years, 10 years later. Is that an appropriate metaphor, an appropriate analogy here?
I think it's appropriate, and I'm not suggesting that we should, you know, invade Syria and put boots on the ground. I agree there are a lot of options short of the use of ground forces that can help change the equation in Syria. It can potentially turn the tide, and it also certainly can be done to advance U.S. interests. But I think this sort of policy of watching and doing a little bit here and maybe a little bit there, I think it's overdue to change.
One could certainly strike, the U.S. could certainly strike in Syria and resolve the question of inaction and lawyerliness. But would you, in any sense, control the chemical weapons capability in Syria from an airstrike?
No, and I think my own view is if you could pick any issue on which not to draw a red line regarding Syria, I would say it would be chemical weapons, because I don't think you can effectively take them out from the air without causing potentially enormous casualties to others, to innocent people on the ground. And we certainly don't have any great options, nor would we want to put a lot of ground forces in to secure them. And the estimates from the Pentagon and elsewhere have been upwards of 70,000 troops. I think that would be nothing short of lunacy. And so this is not the issue I would have drawn a red line on regarding Syria, but we are somewhat stuck now. So my guess is, the way I see things playing out, is that the administration, you know, over the next week or two, will decide, yes, it's time to arm vetted rebel groups. And I think they will stop there, and then we'll see what else they might do. You know, sort of the other options are those that you might have heard Senator McCain mention, that is establishing a no-fly zone, using air power to take out Syria's use of the air against its civilians, and potentially establishing a safe zone.
Well, we will see what options do develop over the next week to 10 days. Barry Povill is a former defense policy advisor to Presidents Bush and Obama and director of the Brent Scowcroft Center on International Security at the Atlantic Council. Barry, thanks so much.
Thank you very much.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.